Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I have more breakfast news for you, Lorraine.
Hold the front page again. Here she goes. Internet breaking.
Exactly. I've got another one, another unusual one, which I'm quite pleased about. And maybe some of our listeners might like to try this one. It is a chia seed porridge with kiwi and coconut. How about that?
Where do you find all those ingredients? You must live in a very posh place.
Well, you basically, you soak the chia seeds.
I'm bored now. Soak the chia seeds. Oh my God, I'm just reaching for the Weetabix and covering them in sugar.
Anyway, it all tastes delicious. You soak them in almond milk. You then pop a bit of overnight. Then you pop a bit of
overnight?
Vanilla.
Yeah, what the hell?
That takes like 2 seconds before you go to bed. It doesn't take long. Then you stir in a tiny like teaspoon of maple syrup, teaspoon of vanilla extract, and then you top it with lovely kiwi, chopped kiwi and coconut flakes. And it's absolutely delicious. But you know what? How Neil described the chia seeds? I made him have some. The chia seeds,
Neil, I can
the porridge
imagine.
Bit, frog spawn. Because you know how they kind of go all a bit slimy. And,
no, I don't. I've never seen a chia
in
my life.
Well, I think I'm not selling this new porridge. I'm not selling this new porridge very well.
Well, you'll have to put a picture up for me.
I will.
Trish.
I've got a nice
person.
Picture.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Lorraine Candy.
I'm Trish Halpin, and we're on a mission to help you make the most of your magnificent midlife. We'll be tackling everything from mind and body wellness to HRT and your sex drive. Lorraine and I are here to help you have a stylish second act and answer all your midlife questions on fashion, beauty, careers, relationships, family, and as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode. I think you're going to like it because it's a super useful show that we've got here for you today. We're going to be giving you a shot of confidence to make your midlife even more special, aren't we, Trish?
Yes, we are. But first, can we talk about our virtual tour of the radio stations of the UK, which we've been doing this week, haven't we, Lorraine? We've been discussing the needs of midlife women with the nation via our BBC radio interviews. It's only a matter of time before we get our own show.
Exactly.
We're hoping.
Got my outfits
pitching.
Picked out already.
But in the meantime, we've recorded lots of chats with a number of stations across the country, including Guernsey. We've travelled south on the radio waves to spread the word about the perimenopause and menopause, and also talk about how women over 40 can lead a more magnificent midlife if they get the emotional and physical support that they need.
Yes, we have. And it's been such an eye-opener for us, hasn't it? We had a brilliant chat with a male presenter. He was subbed in at the last minute, wasn't he, poor thing?
Yeah, someone was away.
I think it was BBC Sussex Joe. Mm. But actually, what he did was really take what we were saying seriously. And he asked some really brilliant questions, which I didn't expect. So I want to give him a shout out, as they say on radio. Well done, Joe. We need more men like you in our corner. We also talked to Babs. Didn't we?
We loved
BBC Babs. Oxford Babs.
Bubbly Babs.
Called me mate, Babs. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, she was counselling somebody who's a close friend of hers who sounded like she was going through quite a traumatic midlife. And she loved the fact that we could give her all of this information, and she was sort of helping her friend and everyone listening to the show as well.
Yes, it was very nice. It was very relaxed. It's not stressful. Don't get anxious about it. But I think it's great because I think we can feel quite proud. Yeah. Can't we this week? Because, you know, so many people out there still don't know what women are experiencing at this life stage. So it's really good to get the info out there. But we were very saddened. We have a little HRT prescription fee update, which we're not just sad, we're kind of furious, aren't we? Because the government is now saying that it's not going to come into action until next year, so 2023, due to what they're calling technical difficulties.
technical difficulties my ass, as I like to say. That's my technical term for the shambles. So the idea is that HRT is a one-off prescription fee, which is around £9, rather than you having to pay every single time that you get it. And women can be on HRT, hormone replacement therapy, for a very long time. So it's incredibly costly. I can't see what the technical difficulties could possibly be, because they seem to overcome them in any other area of life. So it did make me very, very cross, because this does need to happen as soon as possible, because it's just a sign almost that they're just not taking women's health seriously, which infuriated me. But on the upside, remaining positive and not moaning, Trish, because we don't like
good
moaning,
no
do
no moaning thank
I
you.
Did have a brilliant virtual discussion with my own GP this week about the shortages of estrogel. I went into the pharmacist to pick up my prescription, and he said, I have none, there are none, you won't get any for weeks. And obviously GPs are still prescribing this pump estrogel, and there's a shortage across the whole of the UK. So I did ask my GP what he suggested, and he said sandrine patches. We'll put this information on the Facebook group. That is an alternative if you can take it. Obviously talk to your GP, but you could ask that if you're just desperately trying to get your HRT. You do have to get the exact right amount, because it's a different amount. So you just make sure you convert what you're taking properly, and your GP can go through that. And also Lenzetto spray is something else you could ask about if you're facing really long delays for your gel. We will pop this on the Facebook page for those who are on hormone replacement therapy.
Let's get on with our confidence boosting show, because today's guest is Donna Ida Thornton, who is to jeans what J-Lo is to dancing. She really is the expert's expert on finding the right shape and fit for you. So if you're struggling to find a pair that's right, we are here to help, and do listen on.
We are. I mean, I know there are more important things going on in life right now than getting the right size jeans, but women feeling confident in their clothes, it's a real mental boost, I think, when you're going through all the changes that you can face in midlife. And sometimes doing something small to cheer you up, to get right, really does change your day and means you're more useful to everyone else, doesn't it? What's your favourite jean shape?
Well, for me, it's any pair that fit on the waist and the hip and thighs without, because the worst thing is the waist gap. You know, when you get that, gap, the way, if the waist doesn't fit properly,
you can put your hand in it.
Well, down the, look, I'm putting that down the back. You can put your hand down the back and there's a gap and it doesn't fit. You know,
I'm
quite sensitive. Well, that's
to
my
everything.
Shape.
Sensitive to everything.
Yeah. Anyway, Donna sorted me out many years ago. Good. So we can talk to Donna about that.
And your hip gap.
Yes, my hip gap. Mind the gap.
Mind your gap.
But we're also going to be tackling the sudden lack of confidence that so many women tell us they feel when they're driving. It's come up a lot, hasn't it? Time and time again among listeners. And today we've got some practical advice for you on this and other ways of boosting your confidence right now if you're having a bit of a wobble.
Wobbles be gone. That's what we say, don't we, Trish? It's our midlife mantra.
Yes.
Especially when we're exercising.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week's special guest is jeans genius Donna Ida Thornton, who has been helping women find their perfect denim since she launched her first boutique in 2006. Australian-born Donna left school at 16 and came to the UK to work as a PA before opening her first store in Chelsea, frustrated at the customer service she herself experienced when trying to buy jeans. After studying women's bodies all day long, Donna then made the move in 2012 to launch her own denim label, Donna Ida, to address the issues of fit and quality she saw her customers struggling with, and since then has sold more than 500,000 pairs of jeans. There is nothing she doesn't know about making the most of your figure, and her jeans and jumpsuits are loved by celebrities such as Jodie Comer, Lisa Snowden, Trini Woodall, and by women of every body shape and size. Now aged 48, Donna's passion for hard work, creativity and entrepreneurship has seen her take on the huge restoration of Langdon Court, a Jacobean manor house in South Devon. Together with her husband, the hospitality guru and president of the Restaurant Association, Robert Walton, who she calls Bobby Dazzler, they plan to open the doors to the venue later this year. And today she is here to answer all your denim and style dilemmas, as well as telling us why midlife has spurred her on to even bigger and more exciting adventures. Welcome to Postcards from Midlife, Donna.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
It's very exciting to see you again because I've been lucky enough to experience firsthand your denim fitting skills. I mean, you just sort of took a look at me and measured me up, pulled out these pairs of jeans that all fitted perfectly straight away. I mean, what a gift that you have. So you've obviously seen women every shape and size under the sun. Have you ever been defeated by anybody in terms of finding jeans?
No, it's taken me quite a long time to get somebody to trust me sometimes. Mm-hmm. That would be the biggest challenge, I would say. And more in the early days. And also people often, they just have such a fixed idea. Yeah. About what that will suit them and what they want, and they just don't want to be open-minded. What I used to say when we had the boutiques, we'll try these ones for you, but since you got your clothes off anyway, let's just try this one for fun. And I never forget this one woman who was in our Westfield store, and she was so adamant. She just wouldn't do it. And it took me like 45 minutes to get her to try this pair of jeans on. And when she did, she was literally almost in tears. I can't believe it. You changed my life.
What was she trying not to try on? What shape was it?
It was like a classic boot cut.
Right.
Yeah. A very flattering, beautiful. She was a gorgeous, curvy girl. She just wanted skinny jeans, which we still sell loads of skinny jeans. They're a perma classic, as I call it. But, you know, she was curvy, you know. She had beautiful boobs, bum, skin, a small waist. She had long legs. I knew it would just look unbelievable on her.
Where did all this knowledge come from? Because you didn't train in fashion or design. How did you find your superpower?
Purely because I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to start my own business. I wanted to be in control of my own destiny. I didn't have my visa for England. Right. I knew I wanted to live here. And I was working in marketing and sports marketing, which I know nothing about. I barely know the shape of balls. And they used to come and say to me, Donna, what are they playing here? What are the balls? And I'd say, well, I can tell by the shorts. So yeah. I kind of knew by the outfits, how tight the shorts were. And then I was chatting to a friend of mine about all different ideas. I kind of vaguely knew that I wanted to work with people, with women, shopping. And I was just saying to myself, what do I like doing? Well, I like shopping, you know, things like that. And she said to me, well, you wear jeans every day. You know so much about jeans. Why don't you open a shop that just sells jeans?
Which at the time didn't really exist, did it? People didn't go into, even though we wore them all the time, it wasn't a kind of big piece of your wardrobe.
Exactly. And it's such an obvious thing as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's amazing, really, because there are so many denim brands. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, but the kind of boutique experience just didn't really exist at all. And obviously a lot of the high street stores do their own denim lines. So you decided to launch your own line. I mean, that feels like quite a brave thing to do. Huge investment, big risk. What made you decide that you could do this and make a success of it?
So we started as multi-brand retail in 2006, mm-hmm. and that's when we were like buying and selling, and it was in the business plan to then create mm-hmm. our own denim brand. But it was quite honestly so overwhelming, so full-on. We're very successful, very popular, and it was just the buying appointments and staff and customers and everything was just so full on for me. Looking back at it as well, I had to do that. Of course I did. And that's what got me going. Mm. And that's what made our name. Just the amount of administration and the hassle in multi-brand retail, buying from so many different brands. Mm-hmm. And then you've got distribution issues and delivery dates and everything. And you just run yourself absolutely ragged. Once you get on that, it's basically you're like, a mouse on a wheel. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to get off. It really is. We finally worked out what the gap in the market was, because I sort of parked it for a bit for a few years because I was just so overwhelmed and so mm-hmm. busy and really barely managing in a lot of ways, even though we're very successful and very popular. It had to be a reason. So it couldn't just be like, well, I want to then just start my own denim brand. Well, but yeah. why? But it was really obvious that there was no high-waisted denim brand. So J Brand did one called the Bardo. You had to be so skinny to wear it. So skinny. James Jeans did a high-waisted, which really you and I would call a mid-rise, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Right. At the time, it was considered high-waisted. And we had people wanting high-waisted jeans. And the only brand that was really focusing on it was Not Your Daughter's Jeans, mm-hmm. which, as you know, is not cool, but it was kind of a solution, you know, for yeah. that. Mm-hmm. So you kind of had Not Your Daughter's Jeans, which was marketing themselves at the sort of a real mummy sort yeah. of like, I've had a couple mm-hmm. of kids, I'm a mom, I feel a little bit shit and I just want to go up and over. And honestly, I even know the beautiful woman who created it, for me, they weren't sexy. So we then actually even bought that brand and we had the solution for the customer. But I then said, you know, this is the true opportunity. This is yeah. what, nobody's doing it for these women and I need it to sell to these girls. Literally, it was so hard. It was like, where do you find a factory? How do you find design? It was like the world's biggest secret. No one mm-hmm. wants to help you.
And did it work? Did it work? Did they sell when you launched them? So a high-waisted was the thing that was needed.
High-waisted was the thing, yeah.
So what does it do for you, a high-waist jean then? Does it make you?
If it's made like ours, it is, so you have to have a curved waistband. That's so important. Mm-hmm. So when you say curved, so it's lower at the front than it is at the back.
Right, so got it.
If you look at a pair of jeans, like yeah. you hold them up and it's straight the whole way around. So remember when there was low-waisted jeans?
Mm. Yeah.
It was, and so there was like slap and bide and everything. It's the same the whole way around. That's why your bum is hanging out, because yeah. think about it, you've got, it's the same the whole yeah. way around. It's going to go up at the front and it's only barely going to go halfway up the crack at the back because because it's got to go
around. We need
around.
To cover up Trish's crack at the back.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh,
it's
yeah.
got to go help around us. So much more. If you think about it, it's like going around a melon at the back, hopefully. So it has to have a curved waistband.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, little yeah. things like that. So yeah, if it then is high, it will pull your bum up and push us
to make it. So much to know, isn't there? So before we go on to the questions our lovely Facebook group have sent us, tell us about midlife style. You're 48 now. We're all in midlife. Yep. What are you wearing today? Is it one of your jumpsuits?
It is,
and has your style changed as you've aged over the years?
It has, in terms of I won't accept being uncomfortable the way I used to.
Right, yeah.
So I used to think, oh, it's fine. I was very uncomfortable, and I accept being uncomfortable for the day, and I think that was fine. Now I'm just like, no way. I very much know what suits me. I think it was Tom Ford who said, find your uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Karl Lagerfeld, you know, all these great designers, and they wear, and even Simon Cowell, they decide.
Don't be silly, Donna. Don't be silly.
They decide what suits them, and they wear it on repeat. Yeah.
What suits you then? So how tall are you?
I'm 5'2".
Right, yeah, same height as me.
Yeah, yeah. So I wear a lot of jumpsuits. I wear
Trish.
Yeah, there you go. I wear a lot of boyfriend jeans, a lot of like a little like mini boot cut. Yeah, I mean, I mean, a lot of things that we make that are best sellers, they don't suit me. We make them, mm-hmm. but they suit, you know, different girls. So mm-hmm. I kind of, there's probably about 5 or 6 things in our range that I'll just wear and wear and wear and wear.
Yeah, but you always look, because you know, you post a lot on your Instagram channel, and your look, you've got such a sort of chic look. So I think if anybody wants to really see what you look like and what you're wearing, they can go on there and see all your outfits. But you are wearing a very nice leopard print jumpsuit. Very foxy. So obviously, we, you know, talking about midlife on this show as well, have you started experiencing changes in midlife? Are you aware and prepared for perimenopause?
I noticed it was probably a couple of years ago that, you know, I was getting hotter and I was mm-hmm. feeling quite hot. And it happened sort of towards Christmas time. It was after Christmas time. And I was flying to LA just after Christmas, and I was wearing a jumpsuit. And I was really hot on the flight. And then I also then linked it to, I had eaten a lot of sugar and a lot of bad food. And I then thought, okay, like there probably is a bit of that going on, but I also thought, I've drunk more than I normally would do. I've eaten badly. So I think that there is a certain amount that you can blame, if we want to call it that, on that period of your life. But I really do focus on what I eat. I don't drink anymore. And I honestly have not looked back. And that's only since January this year, and really leading up to Christmas. And I suddenly something clicked and I said, the alcohol is the problem.
Let's get on to some great questions we had, actually, because we want to get all the knowledge from you.
Yes.
So many women in perimenopause put on weight, and your body changes and the fat is redistributed because of the hormones. And they do struggle. They're always telling us on the Facebook group they struggle to lose it. So Catherine has a real life dilemma here for you, Donna. She says, in the last year, my shape has changed despite I'm staying the same weight. My perky little butt has disappeared and all the excess has gone round the front to my stomach. So I'm finding it hard to fit into jeans. How can I get something that will flatten my bottom, flatten my belly, will make my butt look bigger and flatten my belly? That does happen quite a lot. It does sort of redistribute fat. It's very annoying.
Yeah, I found my bum actually trying to have lunch with my knees.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm going to have to do some squats or something. It's very irritating. I would really embrace a really lovely stretch jean. So go for something that is fitted. Don't actually think, oh, I want to like cover it up. So I would be looking at a jean with like a nice amount, like, 1%, maximum 2%. So you can then.
Does it say that on the label, the percent of stretch?
That.
Right.
Yeah. It'll have the fabric composition. So you want a 98% cotton.
Right.
You know, maybe 99, just 1%. So you have what's called a comfort stretch. And so it will lift your bum up and push your tummy.
Got it.
So and do make sure that you're going for something that is, when it's a comfort stretch, that it is firm and it holds you and it makes you feel amazing. You want to be held.
You want to be held.
Supported by your jeans.
To hold my butt, Trish.
Support your bum. Right. So the next one is actually about shopping for jeans, because as one of our Facebook members says, there is little more traumatic than buying jeans, except perhaps swimsuits. I mean, we can all relate to that one. I mean, I do feel like you have to get in the mindset for buying jeans, whether it's online or offline. What should you be thinking? What should you be asking in store if you're going into a store?
Well, one of the reasons why I started Donna Ida was I had a most horrendous experience at Harvey Nichols in Knightsbridge, and totally understand why, you feel like that. Be prepared. That's why we do concierge, especially in London, and sort of promote concierge and FaceTime with our people who want to shop with us. You have to go to somebody, whether it's Donna Ida or anyone else, you have to go to somebody who is going to help you. Even if it's a department store and they have personal shoppers, you can make an appointment and say to them, I'm nervous about this. I want to get this right. Could you please help me? And everyone's in the right frame of mind. Take the shoes. So you think, okay, if I want something to go out at night, maybe take a heel you're comfortable in, take the trainers. People used to say to me when we had boutiques, but I want these jeans to do everything. And I said, well, you probably can't do everything. So let's get two pairs. One that we want to have trainers that are running around in, and let's get another pair of jeans that you want to go out in. So I would take two pairs of shoes.
Now, can we talk about size differences? Because this is one of the most confusing things in the whole world of shopping, but particularly with jeans. So Helen wrote to us, I ordered four pairs of jeans from a well-known department store. All four were the same size, but different style and colour. Only one fitted, and the waist size was over 2 inches from the smallest to the largest. It's such a big difference. I was actually excited to find a pair that fitted, so I ordered a second pair, same size, same colour, but these were too small when they arrived, and my shape had not changed in 2 weeks. Why is everything so complicated when it comes to sizes?
So when it's the same size, but the same colour, but I bet it wasn't the same wash.
Right.
So with jeans, I bet saying it was blue, but it was like two different denims. So this is the thing with denim, it's so specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a denim with like 2% stretch, and no stretch. And so that's why it's important to know that about with a pair of jeans, because there's denim moves so much.
Right. So when you say wash, you mean how blue it is, don't you?
We call it the wash of it just means the color, but it's referred to as the wash because usually it is washed. down.
Right.
So if we have our, say, Rizzo, a classic skinny jean, so there it'd be like dark blue, mid blue, light blue.
Right,
same,
I see.
Same denim, we've just washed it.
Okay. So how do you work out what size you are then? What's your size guide advice?
If somebody's never bought jeans with us before, and then, or jeans in general, they've like come to us, I always say to them, what's your dress size roughly? And then if they say to me, I don't know, I'm like, you're wearing something right now.
Look at it.
You must have a clue. Are you an 8 or a 14? You must know. So you'd start from sort of somewhere and say, like, just give us a rough idea. And so then you would say, okay, great. So, you know, in jeans, say a size 10 girl would be a size 28, a size 12 would be a size 30.
Right.
So you kind of can start from there. And then I would say, what's your biggest point? So is it your bum that's the biggest? Is it your, or is it your waist? Are you more sort of an apple shape? Are you curvy? So you really only have to, and this is just DMing people on Instagram or message, and you can, within two questions, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, have you got a long body or a short body? They'll say, oh, I don't know, or I think this. And I say, well, if you, you know, swimsuits are always like the straps are too long, or do they, are they too short?
Right.
So you kind of work it out. If you,
so it's a gradual thing, you've just got to sort of take it all into account,
and you only have to ask two or three questions, and then and also most people will look at with jeans, and they'll look at, okay, do I have you know, whatever, but people don't look at where the length is in their bodies, and so do I have a long body or a short body. So you could have a girl who's very, very tall, but she's got really short legs.
What do you do about that then? Because I was once told by my wedding dress designer, no less, that
this
I had a short body,
for Trish to
which
reveal.
I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of body anyway, because I'm only 5'2". But what then, if you have got a long or a short body, what, how do you adjust your, the jeans
then,
that you
for
buy?
For example, so you and I are the same height, but you probably have got a longer leg than me. So I'm just short everywhere, but I'm kind of like average body, average like length legs and stuff. But actually, I reckon you've got longer legs than me, even though we'd be standing next to each other. Really.
So it's almost like you have to, if you, the more you know about your body and you're honest with it, and you're not setting yourself up for disappointment or shame or embarrassment, are you?
And
because you can go in and know and not feel embarrassed about having a short body like I did.
And know it and embrace it. And also so many people will come to me and say, oh, I want these jeans that my friend's got. I'm like, well, your friend is a completely different person to you, like shape. You say, oh, no, we're exactly the same. Trust me, you're not. And forget it. Forget her. Forget the other girls. Just where it's all about you. Like, what do you look incredible? Like, you need to just focus on yourself. Forget your friends. Forget what they're buying. Forget what the trends are. Forget what you think you should be wearing. Buy what looks amazing on you.
I've had four cesarean sections.
Oh, wow.
One of the questions that comes up, and I'm probably TMI for anyone who hasn't had a C-section, is you get a little overhang because obviously the stitches are quite tight.
Yes.
So that's quite hard to dress in jeans when they're very fine or very thin. So I don't wear skinny jeans really anymore because it's just, it's difficult for me to, and it's uncomfortable sometimes.
It's uncomfortable. That's the main thing. It's uncomfortable.
How does a woman dress your little overhang? I wish that's there was a better word. My lovely overhang, because it gave me four children, so I'm very happy about it. But how do I put jeans around it?
Actually, a jumpsuit looks amazing, girls.
I've got a lot of them,
There you go. And patterns, hides everything. Go for darker colours, go for black. And also a little bit of detail. So, for example, our cargoes, like normal, our cargo we have, it's belted. It really does disguise quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So look for a little bit of detail, maybe at the front, not so tight, bit darker. If you do want to wear something very tight, go very, very black though, and go and up and over
with
a nice comfort stretch that just like hugs it. You don't want to be digging in.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Midlife, there is no room for discomfort.
No.
This one is actually back to denim and the quality of denim, because I think it is an issue. And if you're buying cheap, very cheap jeans, there's probably sustainability issues. Yeah. Sean is asking, where do you find a pair that will actually last well and feel a decent weight? And I think we do need to add into this the kind of sustainability question, don't we? Because we know that denim particularly can be very polluting in the kind of manufacturing process.
There's a couple of things. Making the denim in the first place, you have to grow the cotton to make it. And then when you wash it down, it then uses more water in the laundry. Having said that, jeans you should be wearing for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. They're a great price per wear, and for how long you can keep them for, you've got to balance that out. I mean, I have never, ever been a fan of the high street, even when I didn't have any money at all, when I still didn't shop on the high street, because it's mass producing, mm-hmm. and it does cause a huge amount of issues. I would still rather buy a pair of vintage jeans.
Yeah.
You can buy a crisp t-shirt or a crisp shirt, or just wear a really nice cashmere jumper that lasts you for years. You can mend it. We actually do something at the end of every month called, well, our sample sale. So we sell all of our samples, anything that's coming from the factory. We try it on, we wear it, we make sure it doesn't pill, we make sure it doesn't rip and pull. Everything gets worn to try it. It then goes in the sample sale. So there is no waste at all with us. And I'm sure that a lot of companies like Donna Ida are, and I hope they are, doing what we have been doing for years now, you know, £20, £15, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps the fashion world turning.
So is there a newsletter that people could sign up to and get information about that?
It's on the website.
Brilliant.
And it happens on the last Sunday of every month at 11 a.m.
Oh, gosh, I'm there. So can I just, in terms of price points, though, because we should sort of just discuss that, because you know the manufacturing process, you know, I mean, your jeans are about 180 to 200.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, what is the minimum somebody really should be thinking about paying for denim to get good quality and know that they're probably
it's a really good price. I would say £150. What you should do is do like a sort of stretch test. You want to be looking at the recovery. So if you then wear a pair of jeans for half an hour and the knees are still in them, you don't want that, unless it is 100% cotton.
Right.
And then sometimes you will still see the sort of knees and things like that. You are looking at the recovery. So you want the denim to recover very well and not bag out like an old balloon.
Yeah. Right. Can I just say, I am wearing a pair from when we did our little shopping in your store about,
amazing.
I think it was probably 10 years ago,
there you
Donna.
Go. You still got them.
And I've still got them. They are the blackest black. They are so comfortable. And I probably wear them, I'd say, 3 or 4 times a month. But that's 10 years, you know, so.
And one more point, you know, what when I was saying about, you know, the cottons, you got to grow the cotton, takes a lot of water to grow the cotton. Then you do the washing down. That's if it's a blue wash.
Yeah.
Like you said, Trish, black, it doesn't get washed down at all. And then once you buy it and then you're wearing it, the jumpsuit that I'm wearing, I have never washed it.
So, right. Interesting.
You know, denim will fade with depending on how often you wash it. Mm-hmm. Eventually it's designed to fade. It will do that. Blue jeans will wash down. If you have a black, that will fade. It will eventually, but our blackest black, it's called blackest, it doesn't fade.
Mm-hmm.
But I like things to stay quite black, or I want the leopard print to stay. So I just don't wash things unless I got something on it.
And would you like air them? Would you just stick it outside to air it? Or what, would you dry clean it? Or
I mean, to be honest, I just like take it off and I hang it, and I just hang it up, and I might and I might use a bit of fabric fresh.
Okay.
To freshen it up a bit. But I'm relatively fresh, I have to say. I'm quite fragrant.
If you are washing them, what's your advice on taking care of denim? So don't wash it much, basically.
Not very much. And I use a gentle wash. So when I first moved to England from Australia, I was shocked that everybody was washing in hot water.
Right.
Because in Australia, we wash everything on cold. And here is 30 degrees is considered cold. I mean, that's a warm day, 30 degrees. Or I hand wash. I'm very much like just, you know, look after things. Yeah.
On a cold. Mm-hmm. Now, what about height? Because we've talked about it before. We've had a letter from someone who says, I can't find anything to fit me. I'm just 5 foot. I'm about a 10 or a 12, and I usually wear M&S short fitting jeans. But after lockdown, they seem to, they are now 2 inches too long and I haven't shrunk. So things do change, I guess, kind of lines do change. You can't turn them up. That's the thing about bootleg as well. When you're short, what are short women looking for?
So if it is a boot cut, because it does more dramatically go in and then go out like a bell. So if you do have it taken up, and I do take my jeans up, you will lose a little bit more of that. And I do understand that. So I then wear a wider leg, like, so it actually more of a column. It's wider from the top of the thigh.
Got it. Down.
So then when you take that up, you don't notice it so much. You don't lose as it were. But I also roll most things. So I'll wear a sort of more boyfriend leg or like a skinny, and I'll either scrunch it at the ankle or I roll it.
Okay.
So I try
the good ones then for short people. Skinnies, bootlegs, and boyfriend.
That's your good. Little, yeah, exactly. A little cropped mini boot cut. I think it's very cute. I don't worry so much about my height. I'm 5'2", I'm short. I just make it work for me.
We should do one for the tall ladies, not just focus on us shorties. So at the other end of the scale, we have Caroline, who says, I would like to know the best place to buy flared jeans for people with long legs, because every pair I find are too short. And then Carmel wants to know, on behalf of her very leggy, slim daughter, she's 6'1", with 37-inch inside leg, where is the best for very tall?
My God, we have one called Erica, which is 38.
Oh, right.
And it's called the Every Length Jean. Mm-hmm. So we could all wear it. What happened is I created, because there were so many girls, very tall girls, a 38 inside leg. So Jodie Kidd, who's a good friend of mine, is the tallest girl I know. And she said she actually only needed 36, 37. So I said, okay, let's make it 38. And then I had the factory bar tack it at the bottom on both sides of where, you know, the sides
here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bar tack every inch for 6 inches. And then you just cut it off with a pair of scissors. So it gives you a guide every inch.
That's good.
Good idea. Yeah.
So we would then cut it off, and then the taller girls would leave it.
And just have a frayed hem. Nice. Yes, don't have to worry about taking it up.
You could have it turned up if you want to, but I just don't think you need to, because the bar tack stops the side seams from opening. And then we also have one of the very first jeans that we launched with was the Ivy. It's for tall girls. And our mini jean is very long as well.
If you don't have a waist, if you've you've got to this point, your shape is, you know, you're quite straight down and maybe a little bit large around the front. Yep. What are you looking for when you start thinking about buying jeans?
Well, normally if you are that shape, you've normally got great legs. So I always say, you know, celebrate the legs. And I always think a really nice tailored look looks great on a girl like that. Go for the skinny jean. Go for the skinny jean heels and like the nice boyfriend blazer, which then covers up the sort of more boxy look at the front, and then push give yourself shape, push up the sleeves.
Yeah, so dress round the jean, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You might have bigger boobs, in my experience, that girls got bigger boobs, a nice V-neck, you know, boyfriend jacket or like a nice shirt, push up the sleeves, sort of, so then you're detracting from that area, and then people will just be focusing on your amazing legs. Mm. And you've also probably got a really nice forearm, I would say, in my experience. Right.
Oh, okay. I've never thought about my forearms, but now is the time.
And do you notice British women getting happier about their body image? Because you're talking to women all day, every day, about what they feel about. Are we getting more comfortable with it, or are we still slightly critical of ourselves?
I think that they, you know, in general, we are getting more comfortable. And I think there's so many great people like you guys, you know, out there encouraging people to look and feel really, really good. I haven't noticed it so much in recent years. Mm. It used to irritate me where people would say to me, well, I am 52, so I should, and I'm like, I would say, but you're only 52.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't really like that sort of, well, I'm now 70, so I'm now 80, or I'm now 50.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you want to be getting to whatever age you pop off? You should be able to be trotting around and looking and feeling good.
Well, I think it's part of this whole where the generation we're refusing to be invisible in midlife. Now, you are also amazing at interiors. I've seen your house in lots of lovely magazines. You've taken on this, like, in midlife, this incredible adventure. You're doing up a grand country house. I mean, what on earth? Haven't you got enough on with the jeans?
In Devon. So we actually were, my husband and I were looking for a place. We're looking at the Cotswolds, we're looking Wiltshire. I wanted like a big English, because I'm Australian, so for me the idea of a grand English country house is just like the dream, you know. So like, how do we sort of get this? Because then I would go on sort of on a Friday night, my favorite thing would go on to Rightmove.
It's like Trish.
Yes, that's me.
Property porn. And I wanted to go further out. I loved the idea of Devon, and he was like, God, it's far away. So I took him to Wales, and then we drove out to Wales and looked at this big house, and then suddenly he didn't think Devon was so far away. So then he started looking, and he found this amazing house called Langdon Court, 20 bedrooms. And honestly, it's just incredible. And it was one of those things that, you know how sometimes if you really, really want something and it just seems so hard, and then you're just trying to force it to happen. I just kind of like let it go. And I said, okay, yep, great. It was absolutely beautiful. Everyone had to submit proposals. It wasn't just about the offer. It was about the people. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be looked after and cared for. And then she came to us. I was sitting here exactly where I'm sitting now. Mm-hmm. And he came down and he said, and he sat in the chair next to me. He's like, oh my God, we got it.
Oh, wow.
Now we're going to work out how we're going to pay for it.
It's going to be a business, isn't it? It's another business. It's going to be a hotel. It's going to be a venue.
Yes, it'll be for a venue. So it won't be run as a traditional hotel and restaurant open every day with a restaurant mm-hmm. running and everything, because I don't think that model works as mm-hmm. well anymore. I don't think it's practical. So it'll be a special events venue, say, so you would take it over. So
if for you got a wedding
or if you wanted to
retreat.
Yeah.
If you wanted to do exactly a writer's retreat or a boot camp retreat or like, and just live in this incredibly beautiful place for a week or whatever. She's unbelievable. She's very beautiful. I just call her Lovely Langdon.
Lovely Langdon.
I get into bed at night and I sort of snuggle up, or I wake up in the middle of the night to go to the loo and I go, oh, just think about Langdon.
No,
like honestly, it's like having a girlfriend.
Makes you so happy. Yes, it makes you so happy. Well, you do like your names and your nicknames. We have to give a shout out. You've mentioned him already, but Bobby Dazzler. I mean, you're this kind of blonde, sassy, sexy Aussie. He's this kind of dapper, British, older gent.
Yes.
Quite the pair, the two of you. Why does it work? Tell us about that.
Well, it works because I'm Bobby Dazzler's third wife.
Okay.
And so he knows just to say, okay, yes, 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 darling. So we were even just talking about the kitchen at Langdon Court this morning. Mm. And I was explaining to him why I was right and we were going to do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And he was just trying to tell me why he was thinking something. And I said, I've already told you what's happening. I don't know why we're having this conversation. And he said, okay, darling, he's really good at some things and I'm really good at other things. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when he found Langdon Court and then he said, okay, great. He's had hotels and restaurants for himself for years. He knows how to do the deal to get that over the line. Mm-hmm. He does the big chunky stuff. I don't like that really.
So yeah.
He gives me the heebie-jeebies. So he'll do the big chunky things and then I do the very pretty things.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been together, you and Bobby Dazzler?
We've been together 15 years and I think it's 12 years. If we got married in 2010, yes. So we've been married 12 years this mm-hmm. June.
You don't have children, do you, Donna? So you're just managing your business and Bobby and the house. What was your thinking? What is your family thinking? Because your family are a long way away, aren't they?
Yes, they're in Sydney. So when I first introduced Mum to Bobby Dazzler, it was actually in our Chelsea shop. Mm-hmm. And I said, Mum was over from Sydney and I introduced her. And then I said to Mum, so what do you think Bobby does that? And she said, well, he's not going to want to get married and have kids, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's obviously older than me. And I said, well, what makes you think I want to have kids? Because mm-hmm. I didn't want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby does that, has two children, one from each of
the marriages. Wives. Yeah.
Yep. And so he's got the kids, mm-hmm. you know, he's happy whether or not he wanted to. I mean, his first child, he was married with a baby at 21.
Wow. Okay.
And he'd taken on two children his first wife had. So he's kind of done all that. I didn't want to have kids. For me, I couldn't think of anything worse. I think mm-hmm. it's very emotionally draining. I think it's a tough thing to do. I think girls who can, you know, you guys have got great careers, you've had big, big jobs, you continue to, you mm-hmm. know, be the leaders in what you guys do. You know, I think, I don't know how you do it. And mm-hmm. I just know that, and somehow you do it. For me, I couldn't have done it.
Mm. I tell you what I couldn't do is have four chihuahuas.
There you go.
You've got Julio, Fernando, Eduardo.
I know.
And Gonzalo.
That is like, that's enough for me. I just do think it's like, I mean, I think it's tough. I think for me, I had to pick what I could take on and I wanted to be in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what makes me excited and makes me happy. If I had kids, and anyone was mean to one of my kids, I would go and stab somebody to death. And I just would have been I would have been one of those horrendous, you know, people who would just be the worst mum of the schoolyard.
But you've managed a business for a long time, haven't you? You've been very successful in business. So you've had to be quite tough, haven't you, over the years? Are you as tough as you were, or have you softened as you've aged?
I have. I've learned to pick my battles. I've learned how to get what I want by softening and then being tough. And so I've been just smarter. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just learn, don't you, as you go on, you know how to get what you want, how to make, you've learned to read people, you learn. That's a great thing about getting older, is you just know, you know, the worst that's going to happen, you probably know the best that's going to happen.
Now, before we let you go, you must have, do you have the first pair of jeans you've ever bought, or what's the oldest pair of jeans you've got in your wardrobe?
I had this pair of jeans from Guess, and they were acid wash jeans that my mum and dad.
Is that the 80s?
Yeah, the 80s, yeah. Acid wash. And I think the acid actually aged them away. And I think, and I think all that was left was the black plastic
label
that said Guess on it, with like a big sort of like line or something coming out. I wish, and do you know what I did? When the knees started getting eaten out of them by the acid, I then got little tiny bits of like ditzy print, like a little Liberty fabrics from the haberdashery shop in Sydney, in Borkham Hills, where I grew up. And I cut out little squares, and then I'd blanket stitch around the squares, and I made this beautiful sort of like, you know, this patchwork quilt on like the knee of my jeans. I so wish I had those.
Well, listen, thank you so much for all of your advice, your energy, your passion and enthusiasm, and showing us how to make the most of our midlife, I would say, in our jumpsuits and jeans.
It's so nice to see you guys again and to chat to you.
Thanks,
beautiful,
Donna.
Beautiful girls.
So here we are at our How to Win section of the show. And I want to talk about something which has come up time and again on our Facebook group, and actually in mine and Trish's own personal WhatsApp groups, because it's this sudden illogical lack of confidence that can hit us in midlife when we come to do normal activities that we've done a million times before. We've noticed that many of you have talked about a new midlife fear of driving, particularly on motorways. And I recently spoke to a woman in her 40s whose career was flying planes. She had been knocked sideways by a sudden fear of getting into her car. She wondered how she could be the same person who could land a jumbo jet but couldn't reverse park a mini.
Yeah, I mean, that is remarkable, isn't it? I mean, another listener also shared her fear of skiing. She'd done it for years and years and years, and suddenly she's afraid of doing that. And Amanda told us on the Facebook group, she suddenly became frightened of driving on the motorway in her mid-40s. And she asked the group to share their take on conquering this fear so that she would, in her words, feel like I'm not alone as some crazy woman.
I know, we hear that as well, don't we? A lot. Am I alone? Am I crazy? Well, she had over 30 replies to that post with really similar stories of midlife nervousness in the car. Some women saying it made them panic and brought them out in sweats. And I noticed that the Daily Mail ran a headline recently, a menopausal motorist, a nationwide problem. I mean, how very dare.
I mean, that's really helpful, isn't it?
It's not helpful, is
thank
it?
Thank you. Not
but
helpful.
It is a thing. And then they quoted it, that there is a survey that Melbourne University did, which stated that women's ability to carry out normal day-to-day tasks during the perimenopause dropped by 40%. I don't know how they measured it, but it is definitely a big issue for many women.
Yes, it is. And we, as we know, this panic, this loss of confidence and emergence of fears around activities we used to do may be related to the perimenopause, which is the 10 years leading to menopause while your hormones are in fluctuation. And it really does affect your mental health and can cause anxiety and depression. We know that HRT is the best possible cure for this because it, you know, rebalances your hormones. But obviously there's lifestyle changes. We have covered all of these on the show, better sleep, nutrition and exercise. But even once many women are on HRT, it seems this fear of getting behind the wheel in particular still occurs. And you've found out why, haven't you, Lorraine?
I have. I've spoken to someone who knows exactly what's going on. And actually, it's all about the brain and how the brain works in midlife. And I really feel for women who lose their driving mojo, because midlife is busy and you really need your cars. I mean, I grew up in a really rural area, and the thought of, you know, being in Cornwall and not being able to get in a car suddenly at the age of 40 would really change the way a person lived. So I rang Sally Potter, who is a solution-focused hypnotherapist, and she specializes in women who experience a loss of confidence generally. That's all she talks to women about. Mm-hmm. She's also 55. She's been through quite a menopause journey herself. She really mm-hmm. understands anxiety and where it comes from and what women are going through. And she has some brilliant explanations and tips on the neuroscience around stress in midlife. So stress is the key here.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So tell me more.
I spoke to her and I said, where does it start? And she said, well, you start by visualizing a stress bucket, great big stress bucket. You hit midlife, this stress bucket fills right up with everything that's going on. And then it starts to overflow. There's so much happening, isn't there? Kids leaving home, mm-hmm. jobs, caring for parents. You're totally overwhelmed. Now, you've still got to think about all of that, even if you are on HRT, but you're not mm-hmm. superwoman. You're not a superhero. You don't have magic powers. So you are still dealing with the stress bucket. And that was full before you started the perimenopause. And it's starting to fill up more and more. All of this is going on. So it makes you feel out of control. This is what's happening in your giant brain and my tiny brain. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say it because I could have been a doctor. Oh, anyway, the amygdala bit of your brain, yeah. which is the fight or flight bit, the emotions bit, doesn't know how to distinguish between an imaginary threat and a real threat. So you could have a tiger in the front room about to eat you. And that bit of the brain, which is super stressed because your stress bucket is full, is just as worried about that tiger about to eat you as it is about a possible car crash if you get in the car. So it can't mm-hmm. work out the difference between the two. So it produces the same level of hormone, same level of stress response. So that's what makes you panicky. And, you know, you get really stressed and you can get a bit sweaty. So you'd get that if you're going to be eaten by a tiger or if you get in the car. And that just keeps building. And at this point in life, whether you're on HRT or not, you just don't mm-hmm. have the bandwidth to deal with that. And this sets a template in your brain. So your brain can't rationalize it properly. It can't be logical. It sets a template saying, this causes stress. I'm going to stop you doing it because there's so much else going on in your life. I'm going to stop this one thing that seems to be causing extra stress. And when that is, your brain is trained, it's like a muscle. It just keeps remembering this fear again mm-hmm. and again and again. And it's trying to protect you. And it's a bit of a vicious circle.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of, we've all had that response, the kind of over the top for what the threat actually is, isn't it? It all kind of gets mashed up together, but that really does make a lot of sense. But I think what can happen as well, you can start to feel that your mind is letting you down and you don't trust yourself, do you? So that kind of lack of trust then starts to kind of get sort of exaggerated as well. What do we do? What do we do about this bucket?
Well, Sally is a hypnotherapist and she recommends hypnotherapy. I'll talk about that a little bit later when you're struggling to drive. You can start to resolve this yourself and you've got to start small and it takes a bit of a while and it's a kind of repeat. It's like when you train a naughty dog, you've got to just keep doing the same mm-hmm. thing again and again. You've got to break the pattern. So the first thing you could do is be a bit practical and perhaps get in the car with someone else with you mm-hmm. Because that means that your brain will realize there's somewhere to keep you safe. You go on a short journey and you should be headed to something that you really, really enjoy. But before you do that, you need to visualize the best possible outcome, not the worst possible outcome, the best possible outcome. And that retrains the brain and mm-hmm. starts to break down the template it's got in the drawer of what happens when you get in a car. You have to keep visualizing it so that you override the fight or flight response. So if you think about memories, when you lay a memory down in a time of no stress, you don't remember it. I mean, if I say to you what you had for breakfast last Thursday, you won't remember it. But if you lay a memory down in a time of great stress, mm-hmm. it's very significant. Okay. You remember it.
Yeah.
It further trains your brain. I got in the car. It was awful. I came out in it. I had a terrible panic attack. Then you keep remembering and you keep getting trained. So you have to take your mind back to the times when driving was normal, when it was okay, when you could do it. So you just keep remembering that. So you override the bad memory that seems to have got set in your brain. So remember the times when you had a skill, the times when you have driven on motorways, the long journeys you've gone, you know, all of that needs to reset your brain. You can try, if you're in a panic in the car, what they call the rectangular thinking and breathing. I mean, breathing is mm-hmm. the simplest way because it affects the nervous system. So you breathe in, you find something that's a rectangle, look up one side of it, the short side, breathe in. On the long side, breathe out. So you can mm-hmm. do that repeatedly in the car. And again, that's retraining your brain.
Would you have pulled over to do this or can you?
No, you have to do it in the fast lane and the motorway with the eyes shut. course you've pulled over. Don't ask silly questions.
So then, but that's the thing, though. If you are feeling stressed in the car, and you think, oh, my God, just pull over. And
just pull over. Yeah. Do the rectangular breathing until you feel a bit soothed. But again, that's helping you retrain. That's a memory where it went well. You sorted it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about the actual hypnotherapy? Because that is really fascinating, isn't it? How that works.
A lot of science. It's basically dropping you, and it really does work for these very specific things, like driving, like the lady who said she'd been skiing a million times, suddenly couldn't go. It can be very, very quick and helpful in these situations. So what it does is drop the brain into a trance-like state, so a daydream type of state. You know, when you do things automatically, and you've cleared up the kitchen before you realise you cleared up the kitchen, can't remember it. So it takes you into that state and sets a memory in that state. So you set a memory in a clear, calm state, then it trains your brain to think that everything will be okay. So you're open to suggestion, and it helps you visualize positive outcomes. But hypnotherapists do it in different ways. So it's not a very specific thing, but you will generally be put into a kind of trance-like state. And there's also a mantra that you could possibly take for yourself as well, the three P's mantra: positive thought, positive action, positive interaction. So just keep thinking, I'm going to have a positive, not a negative thought about this. I'm going to try and have a positive, not a negative interaction when I get in the car. My actions will be positive. This is going to be a good thing. So you can apply that to many, many things, but it's really just about calming your brain and retraining it and resetting that memory. And, you know, the good news is it's so doable, and, you know, to put in a bit of effort and a bit of time and you will be able to get back in the car again, because we've heard from people who just stopped driving.
Absolutely.
We?
And that's just, you don't want to be putting up barriers in life, especially in midlife. So if I wanted to find a really good hypnotherapist, how would I go about doing that?
Well, I can help you there as well. So I found Sally through our friend Louise Chun, who was a magazine editor, and she set up a brilliant website called welldoing.org. And the website recommends, well, it matches therapists and coaches to people. So you can find people through the website. You just have to sign in, and then you can find someone near you who can absolutely deal with the very specifics that you're looking for. That's welldoing.org. That's where I found Sally. But I think, you know, it's good to find someone perhaps who's been through this experience, because that was the joy of chatting to her. She'd had so much of this midlife experience herself. She is not going to think you are a lone crazy woman. You can do it on Zoom as well. You don't necessarily have to be in the room. But I think if you're having a really severe problem with getting in the car, it's worth investing in hypnotherapy. They're anything from around £50 to £100, depending on who you see and what you do per session. So that's the advice today.
Very helpful. I feel like going for a little drive now.
Can we hire an RV and go across America? You know, I keep asking you about this.
Yes.
I want to do it.
Yes, as long as I can get the first go at driving.
Okay. Ba, ba, ba. This, Trish, is why they won't give us our own radio show. Where have you been back now? We are nostalgia noodling.
Well, I've got a bit of a run up to this, so don't get too bored on the way. You know how I know spring has sprung is because
Margot's a bit more frisky.
Margot starts molting. Margot the cat, that cream fur, it starts molting all over the place. And I'm like, oh, God.
It's itchy.
And I've got the Hoover out, everything's out, you know, between Bridie the Labrador's lovely dog hair that goes everywhere, the teens and the cat. Anyway, it got me thinking, do you remember carpet sweepers?
The things that you roll over that they used to give to girl children as toys.
Those things. And I just was thinking about how we'd have a sort of a Hoover with a bag, and then a carpet sweeper. And I was just thinking, there isn't a chance in hell that a carpet sweeper could deal with all the detritus.
It just rolled up the rubbish on the floor.
I don't quite know how we did it, but I do remember just sort of, it was quite fun having a go at it when you were little, getting the carpet. Yeah. It's like playing grown-ups, but they do still sell them. Who is buying them? That's what I want to know.
Not when Dyson dominates, when you can suck up the sofa and spit it back out again clean. Why would you need a carpet sweeper?
You could literally defur Margot with one suck.
Quite excited
Dyson.
About that. Can I do that on my birthday?
Yes. What did you do for your noodle? Where did you go?
I was contemplating my little one, who's 10, who will be going to a new school, go out of junior school to senior school in September, and thinking, oh, God, we're going to have to get her a uniform.
Oh, yes.
Not in a uniform at the junior school. So, and then I was remembering back to when we used to go and get our uniforms, which was just grueling because my mum hated shopping almost as much as she hated cooking. And we used to go to Debenhams.
Yes.
And all I
big day out.
Big day out. Is my glamorous fish and chips lunch.
Oh, how lovely.
You're saying that's a treat. I think fish and chips almost instantly. Yeah. Trish, how much do you think fish and chips and Debenhams would have cost
in those days, in the 80s? I'm going to go $1.99.
83p.
Oh.
Do you know how much we paid for fish and chips in Padstow, near where I grew up in Cornwall, Rick Stein's fish and chips?
For six of you, £83.
Per fish and chips, £11 each. And that was £1.25 for the sauce.
The sauce, yeah.
I mean, I know it's high end, but, you know, there is the average cost, I think, would be around £6. But do you remember 83p? And if we'd been really good and not made a fuss and just tried on what we were given, I would, I'd get extra for peas. Have extra peas with it.
Extra peas? Nobody wants extra peas. Did you use the tomato-shaped ketchup bottle? I'm sure you would have had one of those.
That we have to ungunk the spout first. Oh, yeah. It was a bit fizzy, wasn't it?
Oh, no. A bit thin as well. A bit diluted. Yeah. Watered down. Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Postcards from Midlife. New episodes are available to listen to every Sunday on your podcast provider, and we would really appreciate it if you can make sure to download your episodes so they count on our listener numbers, and if you could rate and review us too, that is really helpful.
Oh, yes, please just take a few seconds to write a little review of our shenanigans, and please tell your friends about us. We want as many women as possible to join in the midlife conversation, which is what our private Facebook group is all about. So if you're not a member, hop over and join in the chat there.
Yes, and you can use it to post any feedback on the topics we discuss, as well as suggestions for other things you'd like to hear talked about. And we are gearing up, actually, for next season, aren't we? We're in planning mode.
Yeah.
We've got some brilliant celebrities and experts lined up, but we would really still love to hear from you if there's anything that you think we've missed, any topics you want us to go over again. And you can email us with your suggestions as well, hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com, or pop a little message on the Instagram. Goodbye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.